through me and through the thoughts of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, those of you, see Daisy, those of you who were here for our first service, I'll just turn this on. You'd have heard Francis preach on Jesus' parable of the lost son. And he brought out quite a bit of how radical God's grace is. So you've got the picture of, from Rembrandt, of the father receiving that son in a radical way. We heard how overwhelming the love of the father was for the returning lost son. How the father offered much more than just mercy, and how much joy God has in us coming to him. And if you didn't get to hear this, I'd really like you to ask Francis for either a written or an audio copy of this. He'll be around after the service or in the coffee. So get a copy of it. And it's really quite an important sermon because it really shares what we believe God calls us to in this place. So I want to go into the gospel passage of today, John chapter 15. And if you do have a Bible with you or can look at one, it might be useful to you. So I'm going to really quite closely follow the passage. Now that passage in John 15, it builds on that illustration of God's love for us. That picture of the Father receiving the lost son. And it relies on us understanding how radical that love was, that love is that God has for us. The sort of love that does not wait for us to beg for a place as his servants, but lavishes us with the privilege of being his children as we turn and come to him. That extravagant love is what the Father has for Jesus and what Jesus has for us. We need to accept it, to abide in it, to remain in it. And this passage that we read today, we heard read today, it's part of a passage about being branches, abiding or remaining in the vine. Oops. I need the next slide, please. Yep, thanks. So if we think of a grapevine, the branch is not alive unless it is obviously joined to the vine, and unless it has the sap, the life of the vine flowing through it and within it, providing all that's necessary for its life and its fruiting. Abiding for us means living within, dwelling in the love that Jesus has for us, being filled by that love, being provided for by that love. The love the Father and the Son share is unrestrained and unconditional. It involves Jesus being obedient to the commandments of the Father, doing what he heard the Father say and do. For us, we must decide to accept Jesus' love and to remain in it. And this involves keeping Jesus' commandments as well. Jesus sums up what his commandments are in the one command, to love one another as he loves us. The love we are to have for one another is that love that Jesus has for us, which is the love that Father has for Jesus. Love is that relationship between the Father and the Son. And believers are invited into this relationship of love. Jesus loves us with the intensity of the love that the Father has for him. Not a feeling, but a relationship. And to remain in this love that's been lavished on us, to accept it, We demonstrate our love in return by having this love for one another. And John, in the letter we heard today, he also reiterates this, repeats this, that loving God involves obedience to his commandments, which relate to loving his children, our brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's get into this passage a bit more to explore what this obedience to this command to love one another is about. Next slide, please. To begin with, remaining in Jesus' love is about a life full of joy, the sort of joy that we might expect in God's future kingdom. Complete, that's what that word means. And yet, available to us now as we live in his love, obeying him and loving one another. And that's something of my experience, that the greatest joy I have is both in the moments of really knowing God's love for me, but also in the relationships I have with sisters and brothers in Christ, and having a relationship restored, or having just a time of really close and intimate closeness with a brother or sister in Christ. It's something that, you know, if you have experienced, you know. And then Jesus' love for us, next slide, thanks, is as his friends. We are really Jesus' friends if we do what he commands us, as he says. So what's the nature of this sort of obedience? The disciples knew that they were his friends because Jesus had made known to them everything he had heard from the Father. We know that we are his friends because Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, which teaches us all things and reminds us of everything that the Father taught through him. A friend is someone who has a special interest in you, someone who's on intimate terms with you, someone who has a close association with you. For myself, I want to be with and do good things for my friends as much as they would like me to. So as friends of Jesus, we want to obey him. We obey him in love and understanding, not blindly. We obey him as his friends and not as his servants or slaves. It's our willing choice. It's what we want because we have been so loved by him and experienced that love in so many ways. We want to obey him in loving each other. The next slide. We are chosen to be loved. We did not choose Jesus. The initiative came from God. It was not us doing something to be connected to God. We're not trying to be a good branch of the vine. We just need to stay connected to be living in his love. And as we are connected, as we accept his love and demonstrate that by obeying his command to love one another, we will bear fruit. Fruit that will last. It's actually the same Greek term as abide. Fruit that abides. It's the natural expectation of a branch which abides in the vine that it will blossom and fruit. And the fruit that abides is fruit that has eternal significance and legacy. That includes fruitful prayer, that the Father will give us whatever we ask him in Jesus' name. Fruit that abides. So what is that fruit that abides? Well, in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, Jesus prays that all his disciples and all who come to believe in him and follow him may be one in love, that the world may know and believe that the Father sent the Son and loves them as he loves the Son. In other words, as we remain in Jesus' love, obeying him by loving one another, we shall see the fruit of people coming to know him too and coming to accept his love too, which has eternal consequences. Loving one another, being one in love, will lead to the fruit of others being saved. Is that what we want to see here? And it makes sense to me that as we are one, you know, no matter what we do to love people out there, if we're not one, if we're not in good, obvious good relationship with each other, then what we do for others, is it really going to have that impact of showing God's love if we're not showing it for each other? But we want to see others knowing God's love too. So next slide. What is involved in loving one another? Jesus commands us to love one another as he loved us. And the greatest measure of this is to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus has surely demonstrated this to the greatest extent on the cross. But he also demonstrated this in his total self-giving. As Paul described it in Philippians 2, verses 6 to 8. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. He demonstrated that total self-giving love, that humble love, in serving the disciples, even to washing their feet. He demonstrated it in forgiving his tormentors from the cross. The self-giving, serving love of Jesus is the pattern we have of how to love one another. The command to love one another sums up all that Jesus taught and demonstrated. It's what all his commands point to. So, can we make a conscious decision to give ourselves in love and to risk everything for the other? Most probably not our life, but possibly our reputation, or some resource, or risk being rejected even, or ostracized. What does it take to set aside all that one believes about others, to set aside the prejudices that prevent us from being a friend or stifle friendship, in order to join others in being truly the body of Christ? What would it take to set aside, even for a moment, what is familiar and cherished, whether beliefs or practices, in order to stand with another, especially someone different, perhaps even someone on the margins, who is yet a brother or sister in Christ? In our Acts reading today, sometimes called the Gentile Pentecost, the disciples would have faced those questions. Peter was given clear dreams and commands to go to these non-Jews to share the good news of Jesus with them. And before they were even baptized, and without them being under God's law as given to God's chosen people, as they were uncircumcised, they received the Holy Spirit. They became brothers and sisters in Christ. It was quite a struggle for the apostles to accept what God was doing and love these as fellow believers. So, next PowerPoint. Let's get practical. We remain in Jesus' love as branches abiding in the vine and producing fruit if we obey his command to love one another. Jesus is commanding his followers, us, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been chosen by him and not by us. Jesus is commanding us to love one another as we really are, as we live with each other and come up against each other, each other's rough edges, the things that irritate us about each other, or even hurt, the different personalities and backgrounds, different views and opinions. We are to be at peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to pray for them, to value them above ourselves, to look to their interests before our own. We are commanded to love those Christians whom we are with and who we meet each day or each week, not just those at a distance. So who do we find it difficult to love as a brother or sister in Christ? Who do we really not want to have to relate with? I'd like to invite us to take a moment now to think about it. We'll have a moment of silence and first to think about just how much God loves you, what he has done for you, and then to think about, well, to ask God to highlight for you anyone who is a Christian but whom you find it difficult to be at peace with or to serve, to love as Jesus has loved you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Holy Spirit, show us how to love, how to relate, how to make peace, how to serve the other, even when it costs us. Show us what you call us to.